Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Coleman Domingo.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 418. I'm Amy Matheny.
And live from the Big Apple, it's Coleman Domingo.
No, let's just say live from the Big Apple, the Tony Award nominated Coleman Domingo.
That's great. I have a little bit more of a prefix. Right?
Exactly. We have to have you re-record your little intro here for us. But are you, sweetie? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be on here again.
I just want you to say it's just an honor to be nominated. That's you get to have that humility now.
It's just an honor. It's an honor to be here. I'm being very British today, am I not? Right?
It's true indeed. Well, congratulations. I was so excited when I got on my little Facebook early one morning last week or week before, I guess, and saw people posting Coleman congratulations, and I thought, what's going on? So scroll down and
you know before everybody else. Do you know
I'm
that?
Telling you,
you called me like you called me with the GLAAD nomination.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did call. I know I did not. I was not the one to call you with the Tony.
You weren't on the pulse of this one. What's going on with you, Amy?
I don't know. I'm a little slow on the draw. I believe I was traveling. I can't even remember, but I'm like so excited. First of all, as I said last week on our podcast, as I was updating on what a lot of our co-hosts have been doing, I said, you know, it's the first time I've ever had a Tony Award nominated co-host. So I love that. That's a new first. I'm glad that you made that happen so I can say
well, I did
that.
It for you. I did it for you only. I did it for the show.
Truly, yeah. Truly. but it's so exciting because I feel like over the few years that you've had a relationship with us here in Chicago through our show, that we've really just got to experience your career. So, you know, were you a young boy who thought I want to be on Broadway. I want to get nominated for Tony.
Absolutely. You know, of course, you know, we all have those dreams. We've all like, you know, been in front of our mirrors, having our acceptance speeches and things like that. But, you know, it's one of those things that like, I guess just making a career as an artist, as an actor in New York, you know, or San Francisco, or wherever I've been, you know, it became less about that. Like thinking it's like, okay, well, I guess if I just keep doing good work, it'll be acknowledged in some way. That's sort of the hope. And then all of a sudden when it starts coming, it's kind of amazing. It feels like a dream come true. It feels like, wait a minute, but it's your reality. So it feels really, really cool and very, like when I found out, I'll tell you this. I was in L.A. and I found out at 5:30 in the morning. And
who called you?
No one called me. I watched on the you know, they have a live feed on the internet, on the Tony Awards website. And I got it because I thought, okay, you know, maybe, you know, let me just see if they remember the Scottsboro Boys. Maybe we'll get a couple of nominations. It'd be great if we got Best Musical or Score or something. But that's all I was really shooting for. I really thought that'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And so Raul came out there, my partner, and he's there. I was out there doing some writing work. And so we're in this hotel, and as some of the queer cast folks know, Annika Noni Rose is my very best friend.
Right.
And so the idea that she was reading it, and then I saw her, she sort of banged the podium by accident when she got to my category, which was one of the last categories. And she looked so excited about something. And all of a sudden it hit me, because I know her so well and I knew the look on her face. And the first name that she announced was my name. And I was like, I almost passed out. Like, And Raul just burst into tears, and we got up, and then the phone started ringing and emails and Facebook, and probably about, I'm not kidding, probably about 1500 messages, like totally, like when it comes to, you know, I think all my systems were just warped out. It was ridiculous. And I was on the phone for like 4.5 hours. We had to get room service and, you know, talk to the press and talk to agents. And then Raul, I gave my credit card and said, you know, we have to move our flights. We were supposed to leave LA the following day. I was like, we have to leave tonight because we have to get back for the press junket. So it was a big whirlwind of a day, and then finishing up the work that I was doing out there, and then getting on a flight, and then coming home, shit, shower, shave, and then going to a press junket for 4.5 hours, all of a sudden as a Tony nominee. It was a whirlwind of a day. Yeah.
What was the junket like? I mean,
oh, it was insane. After a while, I mean, first of all, I was like, I'm starving. I'm on, you know, West Coast time. And it's 4.5 hours of, you know, really just going around talking to international press, newspapers, television reporters, radio, magazines, you name it. And going through and talking to every one of them, mm-hmm. and basically, I think by the third hour, I was delirious, and I didn't even know what I was saying. At one point, I was saying the craziest things. Like, someone asked me a question, like, "Well, what do you plan on doing? Do you have some sort of, will you have some sort of pre-Tony ritual?" I said, "I'll probably be drunk, and I'll pass out in my own vomit, and then I'll wake up, and then I'll black out again, and then I'll get up, and I'll sober up, and I'll make it to the Tonys." I was saying things like that just to keep myself awake, like my inner voice was coming out.
Yeah.
And my interview was a little absurd and crazy. So
now, do you feel that you are in the Tony class of 2011? I mean, the 65th annual class of these other artists. Are you all kind of at things together? And were you the first thing that junket?
Yeah, it's like besides the junket, then you have then you're sort of, you know, there's a publicity campaign basically, and you know, it's sort of one of those things where you pretty much show up to the opening of an envelope. Mm-hmm. It's like you just want to be in the minds of the Tony voters and things like that. So like last night I was at the Obie Awards. The night before I was at the Fred Astaire Awards, where I was nominated for an award for Best Dancer on Broadway, which is cool.
Oh, wow.
And, it's kind of crazy. And then today I'm going to the New Dramatist Luncheon. And so basically there's a lot of fetting, which is beautiful. For the next month, you're feted. You know, listen to me. I'm using fetid now because
I love it. Because you're Tony Award nominated and you can.
Yeah, but really, it does feel like, I mean, truly, that's the only word I feel like I can use, that you're fetid. You feel like you're being fed, you're being honored, you're being, and for whatever that means. And for me personally, in my heart, I just feel that I'm being honored and the show's being honored, or also my fellow friends and people. The idea that I've been doing this for 20 years,
right.
And this is a nice, nice honor. It's a great day as an actor. You know, it's a great month. Yeah. And I want to enjoy every single party, every bit of press, because it's just, I have to honor that. And I have to just really enjoy myself at all of it.
Yeah. So have you had to, put anything on your life? Anything in your life on hold because of what's happened for this month? I mean, in terms of other work or...
You know, the crazy thing is this. It's so weird. I don't know how it worked out, but you know me. I'm a workhorse and I'm working all the time. This is the first time I actually have time off.
Oh, nice. Good.
Yes, I haven't had any... I had some things on my schedule for the summer and the coming year, and those things didn't work out. So I have free time. And so I actually am one of the rare Tony nominees that actually... I'm not working. So I don't have to usually, they have to go do their 8 shows a week and do all these events.
Right.
Me, right. It's just events. Like, I'm the one who actually drinks at these events and actually has a good time.
Right.
Because I don't have to rush to get anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You are the life of the party.
I'm the life of the party. I'm showing up in bright colors and the clown suits and, you name it, and just having a ball.
Yeah. Now, have you thought about your speech, or when will you start thinking about that?
I'm so superstitious and crazy. I don't like the idea of writing down a speech. The awards that I've been nominated for, I go and I just like hope that I just think of some bullet points, I guess, what I would like to say. If anything, it's just about being gracious. And I think I would like to just the first thought I thought, I'll tell you this, because I feel like I would just thank everyone I've ever worked with, because mm-hmm. I feel it's all part of who I am as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I would just I think I'd be general, but people would know who they are.
Right.
And I would keep it short and sweet. And I have my own, I don't know why, but I always thought I don't want to cry at things like this. Crying for some reason, I just feel like, I don't know why, it's just not my thing. I think, but I know that I'm so emotional, mm-hmm. but I think for me, I would like to just be, to truly just honor everyone I've worked with, including you, Amy Matheny. It's true, because I really do believe it is the community's effort. It's not just mine. It's everyone who's been behind me and supporting me.
Well, I would say that the awards started coming once you met me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
The awards and nominations, all since I've known you. Either you know, I sized that up correctly, or, I've had something to do with that. One or the other. I don't know.
I think and the Windy City podcast. I think it's you.
That's exactly right. So, I always think that at these award ceremonies, I just want people to be, I want them to be gracious and also a little inspirational, and especially around theater, because it's so something people don't do for money, And I'm always disappointed when I watch the Oscars and I think, ugh, I so was not inspired by that person. But usually when people win the awards there, they've lived such an altered life, but it's a really real working class life being an actor and to inspire young, high school kids who would be watching you, young African American or gay kids that are going to be watching you.
The first thing I'd like to say to that is that, first of all, I think it's so cool that you said that, because most people don't acknowledge that that's what it is. It really truly is a working class career.
Yeah.
Especially a life in the theater. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not, you don't get into theater to make millions of dollars. If you end up making some good money, more than likely it's not because of theater.
Right. Yes. It's because you sold tampons or deodorant or taught somebody how to put a new infrastructure into their, office through an industrial. You're not making the money. Unless you are one of those rare people who lands a big film. Right. Or a television series.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's true. I would like to, hopefully, in my heart of hearts, I think it's a great platform to be inspirational.
Yeah.
And I think, I think for me, I always say that I'm sort of the dark horse in many ways, because, I didn't go to grad school. I didn't go to Yale or Juilliard. I didn't have those entryways into New York theater that a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. I'm a hard worker, and I'm of the old school of like apprenticeship, and yep. I've learned by working. And the idea that I can be an inspiration to somebody would be great. Would be like to some kid that's like, I don't know how to do it, or I can't afford to go to one of those colleges or something like that. But I'm like, hey, you can still do it. You get the passion for it, that you can stand right here where I am. So hopefully, I'll have that much clarity to say something inspirational. Especially, I think it's really important too, because I hope as well. I mean, it's a larger platform as well to speak as a gay man as well, to for, especially right now, especially when we talk about bullying and youth in schools. And like, I just did a performance of my solo show for 700 high school students that the Theater Development Fund bought out. And mm-hmm. I thought, once again, it's like, it really is important, especially as I get older, I think it is important for me to just be very open with who I am in every aspect. So we can, it's our responsibility. For the next generation, right, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, is there any bittersweet moment about this? I mean, I know
It is.
That there are people who are not still with you, but are with you, but are not with you.
It is bittersweet because, I lost my mom and my dad. You know that. I lost them 5 years ago, and like in the same year. And I think these are, a lot of the people that I'm working with, that I'm actually friends with, the things that I'm doing are all their dreams for me, you know. And I think that, but you know, in some way, I do feel in my heart that I'm knowing, because I believe in spirits, and I believe that they're still with me, and I believe they went to a place where they can actually do the work that they wanted to help do for me in my life. And because truly, it's, I mean, the moment that, you know, after their passing, whether I put my heart and my soul and all my love and my passion into my work, but also they're behind me with all of that, and they're making things happen that I think I never dreamed of, you know? So, you know, so it is bittersweet. It is bittersweet. And it's also bittersweet because, you know, I have so many of my colleagues and friends and loved ones who live in San Francisco, and they won't be there with me. But, you know, because I started out as an actor in the Bay Area, and, you know, all those folks are with me in my heart too, you know, always as I'm out here in New York. So, yeah, it's bittersweet that, you know, everybody can't be at the Tonys, but also because the Tony Awards seats cost $1,500. So not a lot. Okay. So I don't think I expect you to see you there too, Amy Matheny.
No, I will be watching you without commercial interruption. I'm going to record it and then start watching it about 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
And then I'll start watching it and catch up. But,
all right.
I won't be able to be on Facebook if I do it that way. Maybe I'll have to watch it live. No, we will all be watching. We are already talking about it in the Windy City Times and the paper.
Are you gonna have a listening party or something? I mean, watching party or something?
I should have a watching party this year because of you. And that's a reason to have it. That's a reason to have a watching party. I may have to start setting my gay party planning into
set the gay party planning
into high mode. Well, it is very, very exciting season. It is the 65th annual Tony Awards, and just that year alone sounds really impressive and such an achievement. Who can imagine that we have been honoring people for 65 years, doing amazing theater on Broadway. Broadway is of course seen around the world as the best that America has to offer in professional theater. And it's really a year of pedigreed working theater artist. I mean, that's what I can say. It is definitely, there are names that we know from possibly television or film, but they are people who are rooted in the theater, whether that's Vanessa Redgrave or whether that's Al Pacino or Edie Falco. I mean, these are Billy Crudup, who really made their names, Pei LaPone, you know, on the stage, on the board. So we're going to be talking Tony Talk with Coleman today, just kind of going over some of the major categories, the big shows, because what happens is right after the Tonys, New Yorkers leave New York, and all of us who don't live in New York go to New York and see all these shows that we get. Many of us only get introduced to through the Tony Awards. Some of us have been already and starting to kind of digest all that there is to offer. But the Scottsboro Boys, which is no longer playing and is a sad shame that it did not run longer, was honored with 12 nominations this year. Coleman Domingo, our dear friend and frequent co-host, as one among them. So we'll be back with Coleman Domingo talking all Tony Talk after the news and what's going on in the theater here in Chicago.
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning June 2nd. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a 3-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed a comprehensive anti-bullying bill that enumerates personal characteristics often targeted for bullying, including race, religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Colorado is the 12th state to pass an enumerated anti-bullying law.
In Illinois, Megan Somerville, a transgender employee who has worked for a Hobby Lobby store in Aurora for 13 years, has filed two charges of discrimination, alleging Hobby Lobby discriminated against her when it denied her use of the women's restroom and then wrote her up for using the women's restroom. The Oklahoma-based Hobby Lobby, which has 475 stores in 40 states, has a webpage devoted exclusively to ministry projects, and all stores are closed on Sundays out of respect for founder David Green's Christian beliefs. Somerville wants to be able to use the women's restroom and would like the company to implement sensitivity training.
The 26th annual AIDS Walk New York attracted 45,000 participants and raised $6.2 million. The event began with a star-studded ceremony followed by a 10-kilometer walk and raised an impressive sum for Gay Men's Health Crisis and 41 other AIDS service organizations.
In Minneapolis, a prankster dumped glitter on GOP presidential candidate Newt Gingrich and his wife at a book signing. The man dumped a cracker box full of the confetti and said, "Feel the rainbow, Newt. Stop the hate. Stop anti-gay politics." The man appeared to be Nick Espinoza, who has disrupted at least two other political events in Minnesota.
CNN anchor Don Lemon has come out of the closet. Lemon, age 45, makes the admission about his sexuality in his new book, Transparent, although he never made a secret of his orientation. Other national news anchors who are out include Rachel Maddow and Thomas Roberts, both of MSNBC.
Orbitz is being urged to pull its ads from the Fox News Network. Three high-profile gay rights organizations, GLAAD, Courage Campaign, and Equality Matters, signed a letter to Orbitz CEO Barney Harford asking that the company no longer support Fox News through ad revenue.
Walgreens is the first pharmacy to make the new female condom FC2 available. FC2 is available at select locations nationwide, including Chicago, San Francisco, New York City, and Washington, D.C. The female condom is one of the only forms of barrier contraception that allow women to be in control against unwanted pregnancies, as well as HIV/AIDS and STDs.
The Nevada legislature passed AB 211, a bill codifying prohibitions against discrimination in employment on the basis of gender identity and expression. The bill now moves to Governor Brian Sandoval's desk for his consideration.
In Tennessee, former Memphis police officer Bridges McRae was sentenced to 2 years in prison for tax evasion and beating a transgender woman. McRae was convicted of violating the rights of Duana Johnson while the transgender woman awaited booking on prostitution charges. He also pled guilty to claiming 99 dependents on his W-4 form to keep the city from withholding federal taxes.
Kevin Jennings, who has served in the United States Department of Education since 2009 and is the founder and former executive director of GLSEN, is leaving his post. Jennings will become president and CEO of Be the Change, a nonprofit public service and organizing group.
Lightspeed Systems, which produces software used for website filtering in thousands of public schools across the U.S., has confirmed that it will update its software to remove a filter that blocked websites with content geared toward the LGBT community.
The Tennessee legislature has passed SB 632/HB 600, a bill that bans cities and counties from prohibiting discriminatory practices by any means. While the bill prohibits localities from adopting anti-discrimination laws on any basis, including race, religion, sex, and age, it was motivated by an ordinance prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in Nashville. Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam can veto the legislation.
In California, a jury awarded $1.1 million to Los Angeles Police Sergeant and Media Relations Spokesman Ronald Crump after he claimed harassment and retaliation after complaining that a supervisor mistreated him because he is gay. Over the last decade, at least 16 other officers have won million-dollar-plus jury verdicts or settlements from the city in lawsuits involving accusations of sexual harassment, racial discrimination, retaliation, and other workplace injustices.
Transgender mayoral candidate Sandra Dunn placed third in Amarillo, Texas's mayoral election in an 11-candidate field that included an anti-gay minister. Mayor-elect Paul Harpole won with 77% of the vote.
The Rhode Island House has passed a civil unions bill. The measure had bipartisan support, passing by a vote of 62-11. The bill now heads to the state Senate.
In world news, Moscow Pride has been canceled again. City officials denied gay rights activists a permit for a Pride event, saying that it would cause civil unrest. Activists hoped the new Moscow mayor, Sergei Sobyanin, would be more lenient than his predecessor, Yuri Lushkov.
China's government has reported that the country has cut its AIDS mortality rate by almost two-thirds since distributing free antiretroviral drugs 9 years ago. About 63% of all those needing AIDS drugs are now getting the medication, up from virtually zero in 2002.
Uganda's parliament has adjourned its latest session without debating a controversial bill that would mandate the death penalty if someone is convicted of homosexuality. The measure could come back up for a debate in the next parliament, but will probably take time to get back to the floor.
More than 70 countries marked the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia on May 17th. The day, in its seventh year, saw hundreds of events held in places such as Uganda, Hong Kong, and Trinidad.
And in entertainment news, Mary Tyler Moore is reportedly recovering nicely from a recent four-hour operation on her brain. Moore, who is 73, decided to have surgery to remove a benign tumor on the tissue lining of her brain.
NBC has announced its fall lineup, and the much-ballyhooed Wonder Woman did not make the cut. The New York's new shows include The Playboy Club, a 60s-era soap about the Chicago hotspot and shot in Chicago, and Prime Suspect, a remake of the British detective series that starred Helen Mirren, but who is now played by Maria Bello. Cancellations include Law & Order Los Angeles, The Event, and Outsourced.
Over on ABC, the network has canceled Brothers and Sisters, which starred Sally Field and Calista Flockhart and included several gay characters, some played by actual gay actors. ABC also canceled V, Off the Map, Detroit 187, and No Ordinary Family.
The 22nd annual GLAAD Media Awards were held in San Francisco. Glee co-star Naya Rivera, who plays Santana, hosted the event. Kim Cattrall won the Golden Gate Award, and The Kids Are All Right won Outstanding Film in Wide Release. Additional awards were presented in New York and Los Angeles.
Gay television network Here TV has announced that rap artist Caswell will host the new original music video series Boombox. Boombox debuts this June exclusively on Here TV and Here Online. Caswell will be joined by friends such as Amanda Lepore and J.D. Sampson and will feature world premiere videos and exclusive interviews.
Lady Gaga has become the first person to have 10 million followers on Twitter. She is now the most followed person on that network ahead of President Obama and singer Justin Bieber. And Lady Gaga has supplanted Oprah Winfrey as the most powerful figure in entertainment, topping Forbes' Celebrity 100 list. Forbes reported that the $90 million Gaga earned in the past year is a big reason for her rise, but an even bigger reason is her 32 million Facebook fans and 10 million Twitter followers. By the way, Winfrey earned $290 million last year.
Jared Max, a veteran radio sports reporter, informed ESPN 1050 listeners that he is gay. Max's words came in the wake of recent announcements from Phoenix Suns executive Rick Welts and former Villanova basketball player Will Sheridan. "Are we ready to have our sports information delivered by someone who is gay?" Max asked. "We're going to find out, because for the last 16 years, I've been living a free life among all my close friends and family, but I've been living behind what is a gargantuan-sized secret in the sports world."
The San Francisco Giants will be the first pro sports team to record an It Gets Better video. Team members will encourage LGBT youth and speak out against anti-gay bullying.
British rugby player Ben Cohen is retiring from the sport to devote more time to fighting homophobia and bullying. Cohen is set to launch his 10-day Ben Cohen acceptance tour of U.S. cities. There will be talks, training sessions, and fundraisers.
Professional bowler Scott Norton has come out of the closet. Norton, who has been named the Professional Bowling Association's Rookie of the Year from 2010 to 11, said that coming out on the bowling tour was important to him so he could be a role model for other gay athletes.
And rock legend and American Idol judge Steven Tyler has said that he's tried gay sex. In his new autobiography, "Does the Noise in My Head Bother You?" the Aerosmith frontman said that he experimented with his sexuality in his younger years, but decided that men were not for him. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Who wouldn't fall hard for a movie that documents the extraordinary life of former farm girls turned country western folk superstars down under who just happen to be twins and lesbian to boot? That's Leanne Pooley's documentary profile called The Top Twins, Untouchable Girls. Though a tad on the long side, this chronicle of Jules and Lynn, a winning duo that called to mind the Roaches and went in full voice dueling Katie Langs, is effervescent and just about irresistible. It was the feel-good film of last fall's Reeling Film Festival in Chicago, and another reason why 2010 was the year of the lesbian movie. See it and get happy, real happy. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that was your Night at the Movies Minute.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 23rd, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Join Dixie Longate's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago, filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today Show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, extended through June 12th at the Royal George Theater.
Writers Theater presents Heartbreak House, directed by William Brown, a sly and maddeningly modern expert writer's revival, raves Time Out Chicago. The Chicago Sun-Times proclaims Heartbreak House to be unquestionably brilliant. Tickets are selling out. Get your tickets for Heartbreak House today at writerstheater.org.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 28th anniversary season of unforgettable books brought to life with a world premiere adaptation of Richard Adams' beloved novel, Watership Down. More at lifelinetheater.com, runs Thursday through Sunday through June 19th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
I'd take the car and drive at night. The white stripes blur and ease my mind. When all that's left's a single line instead of this confusion. And I'm not certain of the way it was. And I'm not sure what I could have done. Oh, I wonder if it'd be enough to stop her from leaving. And I realize the only thing I know is she said, I'm in love with someone else. She said, I fell in love with someone else. And I'm in love with someone else.
So, Coleman, the 65th Annual Tony Awards, you have a seat. Not only do you have a seat, but your name is going to be called along with many other impressive, impressive names from fantastic British actors and actors from other, you know, non-U.S. actors, from Joanna Lumley, who people know from AbFab, from Absolutely Fabulous, and the fantastic Vanessa Redgrave, classic English actress,
yeah.
And the very exciting Mark Rylance, who always kind of kicking butt and taking names, starring in Jerusalem. But as I said before, this is just really, if we looked at this as a graduating class or a class of the 65th Annual Tony Awards, this is a really theater in its blood, grease paint in its pores, group of theater artists this year. And so congratulations to you and many of the people that you made theater with in the past season with Scottsboro Boys. Did you ever expect that you would get 12 nominations from the show?
No, that's something I hoped, but no, that really kind of blew everyone out of the water. I think the show deserves every one of its nominations, truly. I really do believe that, like, it's phenomenal and it's fierce. And, like, every design decision, every note, every spotlight was so fierce. And I think, like, objectively, even if I wasn't a part of it, I really think it's one of those, I think it's really going to go down in the history books, if it hasn't already. First of all, it's the final collaboration of Kander and Ebb. And I really believe that it has every ounce of their blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, really, they gave, you know, because, I mean, these are guys who they didn't need to do, they could have told any story they wanted to do, but they were so so taken with telling the story about the Scottsboro Boys, and then in the form that it was told in, which is a deconstructed minstrel show.
Right.
So taking one racially charged incident and matching it up with a racially charged form of entertainment, and they created, I think, a masterpiece. And I think it's going to be, I think it's one of those shows, just like Chicago. Chicago was not, it was not the commercial success that it became in its revival. Right. And I think, once again, they're just ahead of they were ahead of the curve again with Scottsboro Boys. And I think that once it comes back around, there's no stopping it from being a commercial success. Right now it's a critical success, but commercially, I think it'll make some money in the future.
Who were the Scottsboro Boys? Tell people the initial story if they don't know it.
Sure. The Scottsboro Boys, 1931, Scottsboro, Alabama, 9 African-American teenagers were taken off a train and accused of raping 2 white prostitutes who were on the train. These 2 white prostitutes lied because, of course, you know, 2 women riding the rails in the South at that time, you know, with other men around, they would have been, you know, incarcerated immediately. So they tried to lie to get off, basically. And their lie, that lie, set off all this. It was a boiling point of all the things that were going on in the South when it comes to rage and when it comes to civil justice. And basically, it really sparked, you know, of course, you know, the NAACP, all these different other groups, the communist groups and things like that to help these young men be found not guilty. But that took a long time, actually. That took these boys were in jail, I believe, for 8 years, these teenage boys. And so their lives were ruined. And basically, the Scottsboro Boys case itself was sort of, you know, of course, and we know, as we know with our history books, how lynchings, et cetera, were looked at as forms of entertainment. And so that's why I thought that they wanted to look at how can we see ourselves and our history as Americans. And so let's use a form that will help illuminate that. So so the framework of the Scottsboro Boys musical is a deconstructed minstrel show. There's actual, like, from a standard minstrel show, there's 12 chairs, and basically everything happens with the chairs. All the sets, it becomes jails, it becomes a train, you name it. And the framework has 2 end men, which are, you know, these 2 guys, these sort of comedians, myself and fellow Tony Award nominee Forrest McClendon, and the incomparable 2-time Tony Award winner John Cullum plays the interlocutor, who's the host or master of ceremonies. And so the boys play everything. They play, first of all, the 2 comedians play all the racist white people in the South, basically. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the boys, the Scottsboro Boys, African-American men, play the 2 white women who actually accuse the boys as well. So it's about really putting the ownership and letting the boys tell the story in their voice instead of it being told in some other way. Yeah. So that's what we did.
It's so exciting. And as you said, you are in a category with a fellow cast member and somebody who kind of shared in that role with you.
Yes.
And how you all told that story. You're up against Rory O'Malley in the Book of Mormon, and also Adam Godley from Anything Goes, the revival, and John Larroquette from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. We're just going to say that Coleman Domingo is going to win. Coleman Domingo should win. Coleman Domingo will win. Only possibility of Coleman Domingo not winning would be Coleman Domingo tying with Rory, with Forrest McClendon, and you guys somehow having Barbara Streisand, and who had the tie where they both won, Katharine Hepburn, and
that's right, and Barbara Streisand,
yeah, I think it was. So, will all be watching and squealing and watching you say your inspired and gracious acceptance speech,
or me throwing up on myself,
or you vomiting, throwing up on yourself, being slightly drunk. Either way, it's good for us. We'll still claim you, Coleman. The only show nominated this season for more awards than Scottsboro Boys was The Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And this is from the guys who brought everybody South Park, mm-hmm. and the guy who brought us Avenue Q. And that mashup has been something that everybody's been talking about.
I think the interesting thing about that is that these two shows are both satires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's something to say about what we're ready for and what people are responding to right now.
That's true. Yes, with Scottsboro Boys or religion, and with Book mm-hmm. of Mormon. Yeah. And obviously there is a lot of queerness in the Book of Mormon, just yeah. because when you go out to that edge, I think that it has definitely been seen as one of the queerer shows this year going on. Have you seen The Book of Mormon yet?
And I have not. I think I'm going to try to see it next week. I can't wait.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I know it's a very hard ticket to get, and I think after the Tony Awards, everybody will get a little bit of a sneak peek. But if you've seen any of, like, Team America, the film, or any of the songs created by the guys from South Park, or if you've seen Avenue Q, you know that there is a tone that is absolutely relentless and unflailing in its shock value, but not just for shock value's sake. I think these are very, very intelligent men who have put this show together. And what I was really impressed with, because I saw Matt and Trey, the creators of South Park, on Charlie Rose, and they really are lovers of really the classic form of a musical.
Yeah.
And we've seen that echoed in their television show, their cartoon, and also even in the film South Park and in Team America. And so it's, I think they said they'd never done anything more exhausting and yeah. more fulfilling. Once again, showing you like working class people.
Yeah.
So I think, you all are up against them in that category of musical, along with Catch Me If You Can and Sister Act.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of a wide expanse of shows.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
Two movies made into musicals now and two satires.
Yeah.
Full of kind of real storytelling elements. So yeah. That's going to be an awesome, awesome category. Yeah. And for play.
Play, we have Good People, mm-hmm. Jerusalem.
Yes.
The Motherfucker with the Hat and yes. Warhorse.
And Warhorse, which, I kind of think based on the buzz that I'm hearing and Coleman, have you seen any of those shows?
I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah.
Now I need to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I know, Warhorse is really just the power horse of the theatrical season. So much so that Steven Spielberg is already making, in the process of making a movie of this show that is a transplant from London,
yeah.
from across the pond. Mm-hmm. And from everybody I have heard that has seen it has just said it is absolutely theater taken to its farthest stretches of what theater can do.
Wow.
That film doesn't. These horses are these enormous puppets. And the puppeteer work that's going on, the acting work, the storytelling is supposed to be absolutely transcendental. So I really, as somebody told me who also knows another Tony Award nominee, I won't say who it is, but it's in the director category, said, we can all sit back and have some cocktails since Warhorse is is nominated. But obviously Motherfucker with a Hat has a Chicago connection.
Yes.
With Anna Shapiro directing, who directed yes. August Osage County and won the Tony for that a couple years ago. Good People by David Lindsay Abair is the author of Rabbit Hole, for those of you who either have seen the play or seen the Nicole Kidman film. Mm-hmm. And then Jerusalem, though, also, I think, in a different year, getting so much buzz, probably muchly around Mark Rylance. Do you think he's a strong shot for that award?
I think he's a strong shot, definitely. It's like, he's so beloved, and I think he's so wicked amazing at what he does, truly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I really feel like he's an original, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, the play, though, not nominated, but is nominated for revival. See, they separate, you know, new plays and revived plays, new musicals and revived musicals. In the revival category, it gets a little gayer for us.
It gets really gay.
it gets really gay. Whether we have Brian Bedford playing Lady Bracknell in The Importance of Being Earnest, a show many people have seen, or we have the fantastic revival of Larry Kramer's The Normal Heart, which brought to us by The Public. And you know what's really fascinating about The Normal Heart, because I'm a member of the board here of Season of Concern in Chicago, and that's one of the organizations Season of Concern gives to is the Actors Fund here in Chicago and in New York. And we're having a benefit here on coming up on Monday, where we're doing a stage reading of All About Eve with Chicago All-Star cast to raise money. Mm-hmm. And that idea was kind of stolen by me from the Actors Fund reading All About Eve a couple of years ago for the Actors Fund in New York. And they last year read The Normal Heart for their benefit. They do this every year.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, wow, that's really an impressive show. What a time to be reading that play again.
Yeah.
I think in that cast it was, it was Patrick Wilson, Glenn Close. I believe Joe Mantello was in that as well. Joel Grey put it together. And I remembered reading somebody who just kind of blogged about it and said, wow, if this thing could move straight to Broadway, how exciting would that be? Yeah. And here it has, not with exactly that cast, but nominated for a lot of awards this year. What are you hearing about The Normal Heart? I mean, as a gay man, and a lot of those are just really fantastic actors in that ensemble.
I'm hearing that it's exceptional. I think it's the ticket to get. Truly, I think that's one of the things we're going to try to see this week as well.
Yeah. I mean, The Normal Heart, I mean, you know, it speaks to such a time, you know, when Larry Kramer was really standing on a box and barking, you know, in the tradition of Harvey Milk, you know, really that, you know, we need to stop AIDS, that we need to stand up, we need to speak up, we need to act up. Of course, what was launched from that was ACT UP, the organization, and a true activism around the conversation and the help and the life of what was happening with those living with HIV and AIDS. And it's so fascinating to look back on that play 20 years later and where we are. I mean, Joe Mantello getting to be an actor again. I mean, how exciting is that? Many of us know him now as a director, but he did start out as an actor, and he is nominated against Mark Rylance, along with Al Pacino, Brian Bedford, and Bobby Cannavale, who many know as Will Truman on Will and Grace, is a cop boyfriend. If you're not a fan of the theater, though he's a fantastic theater actor. So
And I hear he's tearing it up.
Yeah, I hear he is as well. I have many friends who have seen The Motherfucker with a Hat and say he is just unbelievable in it. What are some of the other big nominations that you feel about? I mean, you have the featured actress category in a musical. That'll be The Ladies.
Opposite
You, which, I mean, you have powerhouse Tony Award nominated Pay LaPone and Victoria Clark.
And Nikki James, Laura Benanti, and Tammy Blanchard, who I just realized because I did the, you know, I saw her at the press, one of the press rooms. And she's so nice and so sweet. And it didn't occur to me that she was also the woman who played young Judy Garland and Me and My Shadows.
Oh, right. That's why that name is familiar.
Exactly. And I couldn't understand why. That's her. She's amazing.
Oh, that is a powerhouse women's category right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
superpower.
Three
of
them have won Tonys.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a very, very exciting year. Yeah. You mentioned Billy Crudup earlier. He is a featured actor in a play for Arcadia.
Mackenzie Crook from Jerusalem, John Benjamin Hickey in The Normal Heart, Arian Moyad, Bengal Tiger in The Baghdad Zoo, and Yul Vasquez, the motherfucker with the hat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's in a strong category. That's very strong.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't talked much about Bengal Tiger at The Baghdad Zoo, but obviously – starring Robin Williams, but you know, the openly gay creator, one of the creators of the Laramie Project, Moises Kaufman.
Yeah.
Obviously, a director you know and I know.
Yeah.
That is a show, you know, that he directed, and has definitely gained a lot of attention with Robin Williams in the lead role, and just its kind of gripping subject matter and way in which it's telling. It's telling that story.
Yeah.
Now, the fantastic Neil Patrick Harris will be hosting the Tony Awards again this year. Neil does, you and I both host events, and it's if you're good, you make it look very easy. And I'd like to say that that's always a comment that, that I hear, and I'm sure you've heard from yourself, because you're very good at hosting events. But it is a hard job. It is a skill set. And just because you're charming doesn't make you a good host. Just because you're funny doesn't make you a good host.
I think probably you and I, we both know how to throw a good party.
Yeah.
I know how to throw a good party. And like, that's one thing I have every confidence of, is that when I have a party and a lot of people come, I'm a great host. And I think if you know how to throw a good party, you know, you can host an award show.
Yeah.
But if you don't, and you know if your party sucked, you really know it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure, what are their names that did the Oscars? Oh, my God.
Bless their little hearts. Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
Oh, my God. I would never want to go to their parties. I'm like, never invite me to a party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it is throwing a good party, but it's also knowing all the players in the room.
Yeah.
And that you're playing a chess game.
Yes.
You know, at one moment, where are you go? It's kind of, I always say it's like playing guitar. And if you play guitar, because I don't play piano, but if you play guitar, you're never thinking of the note you're on. You're thinking of the note you're going to.
Exactly.
Which is different than being an actor. You know, as being an actor, you need to be right in the note and then be surprised by the next note. But
think about it. A good dinner party, you need to know when to serve the champagne and then the wine, when appetizers, when people are ready for appetizers, we need to take a little break.
Yep.
We need to like bring out a cake or something, whatever. It's like you just know. Yeah.
To move two people to the party together who aren't talking that need to talk, to open up a conversation to more that could include more. I mean, it is. Yep. It's like this delicate orchestration. And Neil Patrick Harris does it so super
because
he's gay. And that is also the thing that Coleman Domingo, Amy Matheny, and Neil Patrick Harris have in common. That's why I always say that Oprah is an honorary lesbian, because talk show hosts too, you know, it's like, you know, why are lesbians all the most famous talk show hosts, you know?
It's true.
I mean, Phil Donahue is kind of an honorary lesbian too, so.
Well, you know, Oprah's kind of, we don't know really.
She's not, but she's an honorary. She's an honorary.
She's honorary gay. She's honorary gay because she hasn't been married, so she's honorary gay.
It's true.
But after a while, we claim her, right?
Because
we have been married? Okay.
We have been for years, but we only have three more shows to claim her. So
we'll
claim her for three more. But Neil Patrick Harris, I just look forward to it. Like, just delightful.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that means,
does that mean gay? You said delightful. When you say delightful, that means gay to me.
Okay. Well, delightful and gay. But thank God you're going to be sitting, you know, because it's long to sit in the audience of a television show, whatever show is taping. It's a very different experience. And you're at least going to have a good ringmaster, a really good guide. Now, do you place bets? Are you normally the one hosting an Oscar party? Because you're going to be at the party this year, the big party.
I, like last year, it's funny. Like last year I was actually the co-host of they have a Black to Broadway, the Black Broadway celebration or something. So I was the host of that.
Is that the Blackters?
It's the Blackters. The Blackters get together. The Blackters that weren't nominated, that were excluded from the awards. No. The Blackters.
It's a good year for the Blackters this year.
Yeah, it's a great year, but also it's just a beautiful event that honors African Americans on Broadway.
Sure.
There's their own you know, festivities, and they watch the awards and all the monitors and all, and it's really beautiful. And so I was the host of that last year. So this year it's funny, cuz something I just knew, they asked me to co-host again, and I said I think I'm going to be there. I didn't know why. I thought we were going to perform or something, but I had no idea that I would have like a nice cushy seat.
Yeah.
You know. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, but I don't place bets. I don't really like I kind of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't. I've just never been one of those people. I'm like, you know, I just see what happens. Because you just never know with the Tony voters which way they're going to go. You never know.
Now, are you presenting or are you performing, or will you just be able to sit and enjoy?
I'm going to sit and enjoy. My other castmates will be singing.
Uh-huh.
And me and Forrest will be sitting and enjoying the show.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, well, every time the camera comes on me, more than likely I'll be making faces and being silly.
Yeah. Well, if you wink, I'll know that's for me.
Done. So. I promise I'm going to wink. Oh, I'll pull my ear like Carol Burnett. How about that?
Yeah. And if Raul winks, then that's really for me. That's what I know. Have you got your tux? Are people barking down your door? What are you going to be wearing?
I don't know yet, but I've been consistently wearing Hugo Boss for they've been really taking care of me for ever since Passing Strange. So I think more than likely I'll be in a beautiful Hugo Boss tuxedo. But if that doesn't work out, I'm looking at some other things, which would be kind of cool too. I want it to be sharp and elegant and slick, but you know, just like painted on my body.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. Well,
yeah.
We cannot wait to see you and be watching. And for everybody listening, you know, you can go to the TonyAwards.com website and see all of the nominees this year. You can print out a ballot if you're having your own Tony party, because it is the high holidays for the gays. And so, you know, come inside, don't go out. Make sure you have all the beverages and food you need. Invite people over to observe the high holiday. It is airing on Sunday, June 12th, of course, on CBS, who's been hosting the Tonys for decades. Sunday, June 12th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on CBS. The Tony Awards, the 65th annual Tony Awards. Come and watch and support Coleman Domingo.
Yeah,
and burn some sage, send up incantations. But it's just an honor to be nominated.
Yeah,
and it's just an honor to know you and to have you as a part of our family.
Thank you. It's an honor to be a part of the family there in Chicago.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everybody, I hope you will tune in and watch Coleman on the Tony Awards. I want to thank you for listening to another show. May is almost done. And the look ahead to a long holiday weekend is something I know we are all looking forward to. International Mr. Leather in town. Men in leather always makes me think of springtime with Hitler. No, actually, the Leathermen always let me know that Pride is here. They are our foray right into June and Pride Month. So we are right on top of the big gay high holidays in full flight. So coming up in shows ahead, we're going to be talking about GLBT manners. Do we have them? Are our manners different? And do we have different things to think of than straight friends? And also, what is it like to come out after 40 when you possibly have built an entire life for the first four decades of your life? We'll be speaking with Dr. Lauren Olson about his book, Finally Out. And Richard Knight Jr. has lots of movies as we head into the summer, plus what's going on in GLBT news and theater. Oh, thank God it's warming up here in Chicago. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.